So we see a path forming. We have a sense of lineages on different levels. And where are we going? Now, I have to say, as I said before, initially I thought I would teach the spiritual guidance program two, maybe three times. I never expected that there would be a body of people who would want to go on. That was a big surprise to me. And so then came the first advanced course, and then I was surprised people wanted to go on more, so we had the second advanced course. And now I've been looking at, well, what do we need? What do we need if we want to be a full path? And a number of years ago, I taught with a Buddhist teacher, Baker Roshi, off and on for about 8 or 9 years. And it was a great gift for me because I had to be enormously attentive to the teaching, more than I may even normally be, because I had to respond to them and teach Sufism, and we would go back and forth. And one of the things that he said to me, it took a while for that seed to unfold, he said, why are you still teaching these practices in other languages? Why aren't you teaching Zikrs in English? I took some of the Japanese Zen Buddhist practices, and I teach things in English now, translated them. And there was something about that statement. It took me a while, but now I really feel an impulse to... I've been doing that now for several years, taking the format, the movement of the Zikr in its quaternity of four, and creating Zikrs, or I like to call them the practice of remembrance from it. So there's something I've created. It came to me to do in Mexico called the mandala practice, or now I call it the mandala pilgrimage. I felt like what we need now is a body of practices that are accessible to people and that are written form. And I've given all kinds of practices through these various courses, but now we need a written, embodied reference place. And many more have been created during this. So I'm enormously blessed to have worked with Elise. I cannot tell you. I'm not an easy person to work with because you don't never know where I am or how to get in touch with me or when it might come or when it... And she has been incredible. So we're at the place of doing the very final pieces, and I will start to teach the mandala course in the Seattle area in 2015, and then also start in Amsterdam 2014 or 15. And I found the symbol for the work, which I think some of you know. I looked for a symbol a very long time. I could not find it. I tried to make one. And then I thought, let it go. And one day I passed a store I actually don't like in Seattle, because it has the incense, is the kind that when you go in, you'll never get it out of your clothes for the rest of your life. And I walked by the window and I saw this, it's only this big, this piece of jewelry that was a mandala. And I was stunned. And then I kept walking and then I realized that's it. So I went back and bought it, and then I had it for a while, and I thought, all right, that's it. What do I do with it? And then the inspiration came, count the different sections in it. And there are 12 different sections if you go from the outer circle to the center. And then what came to me is, this is a pilgrimage, to work your way through the mandala. And people can do it in a year. And there will be a theme for each month, and then there will be all kinds of practices, so you could actually go through it several times. Because in the first time, you could never do all the practices under each section. And I'll just go through and say what the practices are, or what the different months are. The first is different kinds of practices on purification. The second is the theme of emerging out of the womb of the universe. So just as I spoke of how this has emerged out of the womb of the universe, our togetherness and our journey, It's also how our emergence every moment out of the universe and our relationship to the universe. At this very moment, we only continue because the whole universe is supporting us. So it's on that theme to see our identity in the context of the universe. And the third is based upon the greeting that we did, the four ways of meeting, it's an expansion of that. And so that you also have a written way and a number of ways of working with that practice individually, with others, with life itself, with archetypes, etc. And then we have something I've done a simple exercise with, but I've never really expanded on the teaching. And it's the archetype of the quaternity of the four archangels from Judaism and Christianity. Gabriel, Michael, Uriel, and Raphael. And the whole archetypal worlds that they represent. So during that month, you will spend a week with each of the archangels. And there are practices with all of these, and then there are integrative, reflective exercises with all of them. Although, I mean, with every chapter that you go through. But and then the sense of it culminates in a practice where you actually are conscious that there is a temple built around you of the four archangels, and whenever you need refuge, you have that place, that temple around you. What was very wonderful is I found out in teaching with Baker Roshi, because this practice interested me for some time, that they have a similar practice in Buddhism where you place different figures around you in the four directions. Oh yes, this comes from the prayer. That's my first inspiration from the Jewish night prayer. next we have, this is so Pure Vilayat, you know. There's nobody who teaches this the way Pure Vilayat does. I mean, it just isn't. It's his world. And so the next chapter is the world of light and splendor in the holy fire. And I must say, when I was teaching this, I got the inspiration that it all had to be done in Mexico. And the reason why is every theme I taught when I was doing the practices, I would encounter somebody who was Mexican who gave me the story to go exactly with the theme. So every theme has a story that arose out of being there. But I was doing this particular chapter, and I was so filled with that sense of divine splendor that Pure Vilayat always called us to. And I didn't know what time it was. I left my hotel room and I walked out, and it was the sunset. And he speaks, drawing upon Ibn Arabi, that there are times when the archetypal world and the physical world are the same. When you see, like I did with Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, you see a physical manifestation, but you're also aware of the archetypal reality flooding through the physical manifestation. And I walked out and I realized it was sunset. And I went to this bridge in Puerto Vallarta, small bridge, and there were all these surfers there, and I realized that was their form of prayer. And it was, I love color. It's the thing that keeps me on the earth besides my children. Its color is just, it does something for me. So I cannot describe the colors that were in that sunset. Now, part of it was the sunset, part of it was the state I was in from doing those practices. And this is sincere. I write about it in the course itself. But I felt at that moment that all the pain I have ever endured in my life was worth it to see that one sunset. And that's the world of splendor. And where I find that most in my life now is when I'm teaching at Hollyhock and I go to Smelt Bay and I'm the only person there for God's magnificent display of the divine splendor each night. So that world, which I'm obviously deeply indebted to Pure Vilayat, is a whole chapter. And then we do the way of the circle. And that's via negativa, if I take the Christian terms, and via positiva. And we have that also in Sufism. the part of the path that's negation and the part of the path that's affirmation, unfoldment. And we look at that in a number of ways. And the next one is one of my favorites, themes, which is spiritual intimacy. And a whole series of practices that came on that. And the next piece is then another rendering of those of you who've taken the archetypal course. There are two sections here because they came in sets of four. So then again, we will explore the first four archetypes as they came, which I call the foundational archetypes. In the next chapter is the complementary archetypes, and together they create the essential archetypes that are those eight that are in the course. And then, as Jung said so beautifully, you do not do all your shadow work in one weekend. He didn't exactly say that. That's not exactly his words. He said it is a lifelong journey. So there is a whole piece on shadow there that is another whole level from what we did on the weekend that we explored shadow. And the 11th chapter is the divine spark and the divine seed. The honoring of both of these. Certainly in Judaism, the divine spark is what's at the very core of our being, and the task is to find it and then to purify what has covered it and let it shine. And Khazad and Nayakan speaks of the seed of divinity that is the soul. So those archetypes are deeply explored in that chapter. And then the last chapter, it took me almost as long to write the last chapter as all the other ones. At least was enormously patient because I had to go through three different ideas about it till finally the last one came that felt really integrated and right. And I'm now calling that the integration of the opposites, the alchemical marriage. And I found some wonderful quotes from different teachers that are not necessarily included in other programs that we have done. And then my plan is what I will do is teach this first. We would come together, obviously, for the beginning, and I will teach the practices for the first 4 months. And then there'll be recordings available to it. And then we'll meet again for the next section and again for the next section and again at the end. So it will take a year to journey through for those who want to make that commitment. And then the tapes will be available for people who take the course in the future, and also will include questions that have arisen from the groups going through. What are the questions that have arisen from the practices? Not just the mechanical part, but inner questions that arise. And then my hope is, for me, for when people have done these four programs, the spiritual guidance, the operations, the archetypes, and then this, to me that's the whole curriculum. Everything else are other pieces that can be added on and you can take. Once people have done those four, then you're really welcome to take all the practices that are in that and work with other people who are in the spiritual guidance program, who want to make that journey. Because I obviously can't be with everyone, and you will have made the journey at least once, and then you can work with people, support people who want to go through it. Am I making sense? Is that clear? Okay. there's another thing that I've come to now, which is we have the pilgrimages, and now maybe it's my aging, but I've come to the point that, well, there'll be another kind of piece called Soul Space, and the first of these will be in Crete next year, where we will be in one place, a very beautiful place. And there I will teach on eight or nine Greek archetypes that are still very much present in our world and in us. And we'll just do 3 afternoon excursions. It won't be like a pilgrimage where we go to all these different places. And then there'll be one the following year in Bali. So offering these 2 different type pieces. And in the Bali also there'll be 3 or 4 afternoon excursions. But there I'm going to do a teaching on the garden of well-being. How do we cultivate well-being? I want to say the whole question is asked of me more and more now as we get larger and larger and I get older and older. Am I going to train people to take on the leadership of the peace? And I appreciate that people ask that question because I have to go back again and again and look at what comes to me. I very much respect the model that Hazrat Inayat Khan created for the Sufi order. And I also, working very closely in it, saw the shadow that it can create too. When you have a hierarchical structure, you immediately introduce all kinds of problems. A lot of comparison, a lot of inadequacy, a lot of why did that one get it and I didn't get it. And so far my guidance has been very clear, do not divide the community. Because I see our community, and this was my initial guidance. This was very clear to me. The community needed to be created of people who have done at least 10 years inner work. And by that I mean psychological or spiritual or both. And people who have lived a life and built a life and have come to some kind of maturity and are able to hold something of themselves as they go through the inner work. And in their lives, they have had periods of doing something that's deeply meaningful of service to them. And have been in leadership roles in various areas of their life. So I feel like we're a community of leaders already. You know, spiritual guidance. I mean, I may be considered a kind of expert, let's say, in spiritual guidance. That's one area of the universe of life. And I know everyone in this room, many much deeper than others, let's say, but every person here that's come through the program has a whole world in which you have had leadership. And you offer something incredible. So when Noor Ali gave the beautiful presentation last night on the distilled sense of the alchemical course, he can take that into areas I could never take it and would never want to take it. Okay. So from my perspective, we are a community of leaders. And that's also why normally when we meet in a circle. Because we could change the focus at any time. And there's someone sitting there who has something to offer leadership-wise and has a wisdom. So as I said, Noor Ali can take that model into all kinds of areas that I would never go in. It's not my calling, it's not my skill, it's not my ability. Believe me, I would never go in. And God bless him that he goes in and he has the whole way of being able to do that. Every person here can take things from the spiritual guidance program and bring them into the world. In ways, and that's the piece that needs to be done. As Reb Zalman said, every discipline in the world needs to change with the new consciousness. So that's our calling. It's no longer just enough for one's own personal spiritual unfoldment. Find a place like Victor did in the garden shop. We all have areas to take it. So I want to be clear about that. And at the present moment, that's the guidance that still comes. Do not divide the community with tiers of leadership. There are lots of leaders. And who knows what will happen in the future, but that's where I am, and I'd like to just answer that question because it comes up more and more. Now, having said that, I also want to say that I will be working much more with my son, Emmanuel, Emmanuel will be, especially initially on pilgrimages, he'll be involved in leading one to Angkor Wat after we do the Bhutan trips. He'll be in the Brazil pilgrimage with me. He'll be also in the Crete program. I'm going to work much more with Emmanuel. I saw the response on the India pilgrimage to his way of being with people. And he has now spent the last 2.5 years in Asia, combining traveling, Buddhist retreats, and service projects. I am going to be really clear because it's been said in a serious way and it's been said in a teasing way. Emmanuel is not my designated successor. Okay. Emmanuel is a beautiful being who's 31 years old and who's deeply rooted on a spiritual path. Part of the reason why we're doing this is when I first went to Nepal, and the first time I met Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, every day that I was in Nepal, I saw Emmanuel's face. I love all my other children just the same. But I saw Emmanuel's face every single day. And I bought him a ring, a lapis ring, for when he got older as an adult. Emmanuel was the least of my children interested in religion, etc. Came home from high school and said, "Religion is a curse. More people have died and suffered from it than anything else." Which is in many ways true. However, I gave him the ring, and Emmanuel had open heart surgery at 18. And lo and behold, at a radical change of his life at 27, he went to Asia. And there we were 20 years later in the place where I met Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche. Emmanuel and I were there. He about to begin a 30-day Buddhist retreat. So I feel there's a calling for him very deeply. My other children will express it, a calling equally, but in their own ways. And so I'm really wanting to honor that calling in him. And he'll find his own way, his own path. He'll offer what he has to offer. So I just want to say that it's not a designated successor. But there's enormous harmony between the two of us, and we will be working more together. Okay? Is that part clear? Because what happened, after 25 years of teaching in the Alps camp where I met Pure Reliant 40 years ago, there was a tribute to me, and Emmanuel was asked to lead it. And at the end, there was no chair left but the one I had taught from. So he went to sit down while someone else was talking, and everyone applauded when he sat in the chair. So I just wanted to both honor that and clarify that. Okay?